This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Garrett, for taking the time today to join us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Garrett, let's start off with telling our listeners and viewers a little bit about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so my name's Garrett. I'm the owner of GBI Pool Services, Inc. One of two owners. My partner, Jordan, is not on the podcast today. So I started the company back in 2011 as a sole proprietorship. I was a first-year university student, procrastinated, didn't find a job in time. So I was jobless. My parents were very, very helpful and gave me some ideas, as well as a good friend of mine at the time who was working with Student Works Painting, kind of doing his own thing. And I just started doing odd jobs, mowing lawns, painting a little bit, you know, things like that, advertising on Kijiji and Use Ottawa. My mom was so kind to lend me her 2003 GMC Envoy, which allowed me to get from job site to job site. Eventually, I don't remember exactly the day, I saw a flyer from a pool company to open a pool. And I just remember looking, going, holy crap, that's a lot of money. I can do that. And, you know, I'd done the math of how much I would have made working, you know, just a retail job, making minimum wage, and, you know, kind of knew what that would be. And I go, man, I'd only need to open 20 pools and make that kind of money, as I would all summer. Like, this could make sense. So I started posting ads for pool openings and got a few bites and started doing that. And some of those customers are, believe it or not, still customers today. 14 years later, not a ton of them. There weren't a ton of them to begin with, but some of them still are around. And, you know, I wasn't always running out of my GMC Envoy. Over time, it had some recurring business. So customers are coming back. Signed on with some of the suppliers that got me goods at wholesale prices, so I could make a little bit of money on that. And every year kind of grew it a little bit more. When I finished my degree in 2015, my dad was kind of like, all right, you know, I've helped you enough and it's time that I get out of this. So I had to make a decision whether to continue doing what I was doing or make it try to make the business work or find a job. So I said, you know what, I'm young, I can try to make this work. And that's what I did. I just continued on and here we are in 2025 and we're up to 20 employees in the summer. And wow. We keep 10 over the winter, roughly speaking, for the winter service calls we get, as well as some just process improvements, inventory, all that stuff as we go. So yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's so you're basically 10 years full time in it then? Is that right? After you graduated?
Yeah, about 10 years since I graduated, yeah. Which is crazy to think about. Yeah.
Wow. And some of those original customers still with you. So take us through what were you selling back in the beginning to those original customers?
Pool openings, to be honest, is what I started with. For those of the listeners with a pool, as you know, can be the bane of your existence. Always breaking at the most inopportune times. Opening is just a terrible job to do. It's dirty. It's messy. It takes all day. You know, it's just no fun. So a lot of people like hiring someone to do that. And, that's how it started. And when you open a pool, then you need pool chemicals. Where do you get your pool chemicals? Your pump doesn't start. Where do you get your pool pump from? You know, that kind of thing, where it just kind of organically grew itself in the terms of, okay, I'm here to do a pool opening. We ran into these other problems. And to be honest, it's just a matter of not saying no, just saying yes. Hey, can you do this? Yeah, I can do that. And it just kind of took off from there over time. And we added more and more services as the years went on. And, now we have different specializations and different things like leak detection and liner replacements that really cover almost the whole entire spectrum of pool services, short of actually digging the hole, essentially.
Wow. So I'm going to ask you a question so my background is involved in the business side of hockey teams.
Yes.
And I used to hate this question when it was asked of me, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you do during the off season?
That's one of the most common questions I get, and I hate it because the answer is honestly, there's not much going on. So we keep our key staff year round. So they're paid on a salary. They work a lot of hours, and basically from around now to end of March until middle of November, end of November. Company-wide, we take 2 weeks off at Christmas. There's a lot of maybe just cleaning up of data, cleaning up the trucks, making sure that they're all in good shape, all of our equipment, just getting that all repaired. Once we hit January, it's a matter of signing up our weekly maintenance customers, getting them scheduled in right away. That's kind of the, I call it like the heartbeat of the company because it's kind of what keeps everything moving. If we have nothing else, we still have our weekly maintenance calls to go to, and we're opening their pools and closing their pools and all the other stuff in between for them. And then recently for myself, I really try to focus on process improvements. A great example is the software that we're using has barcodes implemented in the back end. Friday at 4:30, I was closing up for the day, and I enabled this module, and then I said, we'll give it 10 minutes, see what happens. And 45 minutes later, I'm standing in our warehouse scanning items and matching them to our price book. And I'm going, holy crap, this is going to be amazing for everyone. Just makes there's a lot of problems that we have with let's say, our inventory in terms of technicians putting the right items on invoices. And it's just, anyways, I think I'm going to sound like a bit of a loser here, but I woke up at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, and I couldn't go to sleep because my mind just wouldn't stop thinking about how I'm going to process, how I'm going to implement this process and roll it out to everybody before April 1st when people are on the road. So it, yeah.
And what geographical area do you cover? Are you just Ottawa proper, or do you go to the tertiary markets as well?
So we are located in Carp. So we started out of my parents' garage in Kanata. So very thankful the neighbors didn't call bylaw on us because back then there was stuff in the driveway and extra trucks parked on the road maybe that shouldn't have been. When in 2015 I rented a house in Bell's Corners with a 600 square foot garage. So we worked from there for 2 or 3 summers. I can't remember the exact timeline. We then moved to an 1800 square foot warehouse on Cedarview, I guess technically Barrhaven, right beside a mechanic shop, very high traffic road. When that lease was up, we'd already outgrown it within 3 years. I kicked myself for this because there was a warehouse up for sale in July, and I said, hey, this would be great, but it's in Carp, that's way too far, so didn't think about it again. Guess where we ended up leasing 6 months later?
Course.
Yeah, so that lease just ended, and this winter the big thing has actually been moving to our new warehouse in Carp. So we're just off of Carp Road, on a side street called John Cavanaugh. The building fronts Carp Road, so it's going to let us have a bit more of a showroom on the main floor for our existing customers to get their water tested, and maybe drive a little bit of retail traffic as well, which is good. So
Nice.
we'll go everywhere from Carp. Orleans can be tough with the traffic now and all the construction. We don't go quite as far as Renfrew, but Arnprior we'll go to pretty frequently. And south we'll go Greeley, Manotick. As far as Kempville, there's not a whole lot of we don't get a lot of calls in Kempville, but basically Orleans to Arnprior to Kempville would be kind of the geographical area.
And you mentioned, Garrett, that you keep your staff, 10 of your key staff, full time for the entire year. Is that an industry-wide practice? I wouldn't think it is. And sec part two is, if it's not, is it that a form of a recruiting tool for you to get the best people?
I don't think it's industry standard. Most technicians I would get laid off. For our key technicians, I like keeping them on because a lot of them are younger, like myself. And if you want to get a mortgage for a house, if you have seasonal wage, a bank just doesn't even give you the time of day. Whereas if you have you know, hey, here's my salary for the year. You know, at least they can, there's some rapport there with the bank, they can get a mortgage. So I would argue it definitely helps us attract and retain, you know, the top talent that that works for us. And you know, over time I've implemented different ways that, you know, they earn their salary, and it works really well for us, and it works really well for them. You know, we're one of the big process improvements this winter is just, you know, clear paths for those technicians to advance from, you know, a junior up to a senior level, and then beyond into management if they decide to do something like that. So, all tied to, you know, their sold hours, billable hours, and I guess their efficiency over time. And you know, it's when they come to me at the end of the year, say, "Hey, I want more money." I have all the data available to me to say, "Okay, you know, these were your targets. Did you hit them? Yes or no?" And you know, it's a fair, transparent way for both sides to win, basically.
And I guess the business is somewhat weather dependent too, right? Or at least your timing of everything. You know, with the amount of snow that we now have, I'm going to assume, unless we get a real hot spell, that pool openings are going to be somewhat delayed. Is that how do you factor that into your off-season planning?
We generally start booking for second week of April. And then with the understanding with those customers is, hey, if your pool is, you know, thawed, call us and we will reschedule to an earlier date. So we don't overbook the early parts of April. And our main focus at that time, and call it the end of this week into that period, is going to be installing equipment that we can because everything's been melted. So that's kind of how we kickstart the season. And it's a really good time for us because our junior technicians are going out with their senior technicians to actually install the equipment that they may not necessarily see during the summer. So it's very good for training and very weather dependent because, again, it's we're at the mercy of Mother Nature for a lot of these things. So there is a lot of you have to be flexible from a scheduling standpoint for us for sure.
Let's switch gears a little bit, Garrett, and talk about, you know, entrepreneurship in general. So, what advice would you give to a listener that's much like you were in 2011, I think you said, when you're in university, and not necessarily someone in university, but someone that's thinking of starting a business? What advice would you give to them if they're maybe a little hesitant to make that leap?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to say exactly. I mean, there's so many different things I could say. You know, the first thing you've got to ask yourself is, you know, what is your end goal? Because if your goal is to work less, you're probably not going to have that for a very long time, if ever. It's very difficult to start a business and get it to the point where, you know, you're able to step away or even take a vacation. You know, just I took my first vacation in the middle of the summer last year for 13 years after I started. I had never taken any time off in the summer. I did it for the first time. I've got a son who was, you know, a year and a half. So I have to start doing that just from a family side of things. And I want to do that too. You know, it's not going to be easy to start to get things off the ground. You have to be willing to put the work in. If you already have a job, you really, really need to know the numbers to, okay, what is it going to take to replace the income level that I need to live? And, you know, yes, you can sell something at $100 where maybe you're making less, but you got to factor in your expenses. So your software expenses, your other things. You really need to know what your break-even numbers are so that, you know, once you've started within 6 months to a year, you can reflect and look and say, okay, here's what my targets were. What did I actually get to? Is this working now? And if yes, continue. If not, how can I make this work or pivot or whatever to get to where I need to be? You got to learn how to do everything. Bookkeeping. It's and nobody likes to, well, maybe not nobody, I shouldn't say nobody. I don't like doing it, but I have the background and understanding that I know how to do it so that I'm not looking at all these expenses coming in going, how do I classify this? It's okay, you know, this is where it needs to go, just as an example. And then once things are off the ground, just outsource the things that take up a lot of your time that you hate doing. That is the first step to freeing up some time because you really need to focus on doing the things that generate the revenue to keep the company going more so than the back end work, like bookkeeping. I'm picking on bookkeeping a lot, but
Well, even though I own a marketing agency, I've always maintained that understanding the financial picture of your business, you know, finances are at the hub. Everything else is just spokes. Because if you don't have that nailed down, you know, you could be in trouble down the road. So good for you for doing that. That's really smart. What about someone that's listening that, you know, that currently owns a business and may be struggling, as we all do as entrepreneurs? I'm sure you've had some, you don't need to go into details as to the ups and downs, but I'm sure you've experienced some. And is there anything that you, any particular technique or tools that you use to help yourself pull out of that?
Yeah, there's so many different challenges. I think, you know, for myself, I'm very fortunate. I have an awesome partner in Jordan, and, you know, it helps because it can be very lonely. When you're on your own in a small business, because, you know, there's not really anybody to talk to that understands what you're necessarily going through. So, you know, again, I have my partner, Jordan, and anytime something's going on where I'm not really sure, I can talk to him or vice versa, bounce ideas back and forth. You know, I think maybe finding a mentor is something I'd really recommend for somebody that can help you maybe problem solve some of the things that you might find difficult that maybe they've already experienced before and can have just a different, fresh perspective on those difficult things, whatever those may be.
Would you agree with this statement, Garrett, that entrepreneurs by their mental makeup tend to resist going and seeking help because they think they can solve it all?
I would think so, yeah. I think that's just a general statement of a lot of people, though. I think that could be applied to. I think part of the entrepreneurship journey is learning when to let go and knowing when, you know, you're not the best person for this anymore. You need somebody else has to do this. And I think that definitely ties into that.
Well, the reason why I mentioned that is that it's my belief that there's a lot of people, mentors out there that would gladly, you know, help somebody and no charge. But I think entrepreneurs by their nature are a little hesitant to ask for help. And it's kind of a consistent theme on this podcast that don't hesitate to reach out to somebody. What's the worst that can happen? They can say no to you. But I think more times than not, you'll find that they're willing to help as long as it's a reciprocal, you know, you're not taking advantage of somebody. I don't mean reciprocal as in receiving funds for the services, but, you know,
yes.
respecting their time and trying not to use their contacts, things like that. I'm fortunate enough. I speak to the graduating class at Algonquin every year, and that's the message I send to them is, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to somebody, a business leader. They'll gladly help you if that's what you want. And yet 99% of them won't do it. And I think that's a shame because, boy, you have the right mentor and you can save yourself a lot of heartache.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really good point and fully agree with that.
If you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about your kind of, I'm curious now about your daily routine in terms of not working on the business versus in the business. Have you got to that stage yet, Garrett, where you're spending some time working on the business versus in it? Or are you still at that stage where you're still in it every day?
Definitely still in it every day. In a trades business like mine, I think the term would be work, you know, on the tools basically. So up until now, last summer was the first summer where I was able to get a few days off the tools and in the office. So we have a great general manager, Mark, who handles a lot of the daily operations, which when I originally hired him in 2017, give or take a year, Mark might get mad at me for saying that if he listens to this, you know, that alleviated a ton of the answering emails at 11:30 and, you know, holding a wrench with one hand and answering the phone with the other, because you're doing a disservice to your customers when you're doing that, because, you know, you're not doing things to the best of your ability when you're just getting pulled in 100 different directions. So you definitely need that to help yourself get off of the tools. That being said, a lot of customers like seeing, you know, the owner of a trades company in particular actually being involved. And I don't necessarily tell people on sites that I'm the owner of the company. But if they ask and prod, eventually they'll get it out of me, because I like to see, how they would treat just an average staff member as well. And demeanors definitely can change once they find out that I am in charge of a lot of the things with the company. But it's definitely different feedback that you get in those conversations. So yeah.
Do you use some of your off-season time to work on the business?
Yes, that's
Okay.
now my primary focus. So we implemented a very detailed CRM software that does all of our scheduling, our invoicing estimates, our inventory, purchase orders, all that stuff that ties into QuickBooks eventually. So that system, the best way to describe it is we were given the keys to a Ferrari without the manual. So we ended up having to build a lot of the systems on the back end our own. We get to April 1st and it's kind of, okay, this is what we have. This is what we're using. We don't make any major process changes. We revisit them in December, January, and update at that point to then say, okay, this worked really well. This didn't work well. What can we do to improve for next year? And that's what a lot of the off season is now for me. And then, we're getting to the point where we're starting to document our processes so that as we get new hires, or we have a hit by a bus policy where, okay, if Garrett gets hit by a bus, how do we replace what he does? So we're getting those in place so that payroll still gets run on time, and the other things that, again, I'll pick on myself, that I do are getting done by somebody else, because there's a written documented process to do that. So it's super important things that just a massive amount of work that never really ends for that, but needs to get done at some point. And that shouldn't be your primary focus when you're starting a business, but definitely when you're in the optimization stage is where you're kind of looking at that stuff.
There's a great book. I bring it up almost every podcast, excuse me, by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth Revisited. And it was written in the early 80s. So, before technology really took things over. And it's all about that. His whole lesson is work on the business, not in the business. Treat it as if you're going to franchise it, even if you're not going to franchise it, to make sure those processes are in place. So it's a great recommendation to any of our listeners. Garrett, thanks so much for doing this. Before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about you and your company?
Yeah, so you can, our website is www.gvipools.com. That's where you can book service calls. You can phone us at 613-797-7665. And you can reach our office by email at info@gvipools.com as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Garrett. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Pat.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.